and it's all right. We're local people, and Bromsgrove is just down the road for us. It's a team that we've been very, very close to for a very long time. And we just felt what there was the three of us, and we all felt we got different abilities to offer in the game. And we felt if we came together, we could do a job for Bromsgrove. And I think that's where the idea of the consortium came in. Each one of us has got a different element. So Paul, obviously, with the football, Craig with the commercial side, and me with my board experience at Bristol Rovers and a background in football at other places as well. So we've all come together, and Bromsgrove was a club that was a little bit close to our hearts, to say the least. And we approached the club back in May. There were several conversations that took place. And eventually they kindly invited us in, and here we are today.
Paul, anything you'd like to add to that?
Oh, quite a lot. I mean, like we were discussing earlier, when the Gremlins were on, I've predominantly been in professional football for the last sort of practically knocking on 50 years now, 48 to be exact. So I'm sort of demoted myself, but I don't like to use the word project. It's an overused word in football. This is definitely a project, because I live in the town. I'm not from the town originally, but I've lived here on and off for the last 20 years. My dad actually played for Bromsgrove Rovers back in the 1950s. I was born in 1957. I'm not sure what years he played, but it was either before I was born or when I was just a baby, so I never ever saw him play. He used to catch three buses to get to from Birmingham to play for them. So there was that sort of link. My dad passed away 4 years ago, but he'd be quite pleased now knowing that we were in there. And two of my three sons have played for the first team in Bromsgrove as Sporting, not Rovers. My oldest lad actually broke his leg playing for Bromsgrove Rovers under 18s, broke his leg really badly, which he was actually supposed to go to Oxford United the following week, but that wrecked that. But he recovered and eventually ended up playing for Bromsgrove Sporting when at the start, the first two or three seasons. I think they got one promotion while he was playing. And then my middle son, Liam, who became a professional footballer, when he returned from Australia, from Adelaide, he helped out. Sporting was struggling a little bit, and he came and played probably about a dozen games for him, scored a few goals, helped him out before he went off to play in Sweden. So it's a family connection with the club, and it's my local club. I live here now, and I can walk down the ground in 15-20 minutes, so it's handy. And in all honesty, the professional game, I've been at League One and League Two level predominantly in the last 20 years. And it's all gone number crunching and analytical, and no one seems to get off their backsides to watch players anymore. And that's not the way I want to work. So in a nutshell, this offers an opportunity to work the way I want to and put a bit back into the local club from a professional background, and sort of help make the local club a bit more professional, because it's stagnated. The last couple of years, the people that have been there have done a great job up until a couple of seasons ago. But now it needs a fresh impetus to take it on to try and get it back to where it was in the first place.
And I mean, you both got gentlemen, you bring sort of a lot of experience. I mean, I'm just, reading some of the bios, the clubs that you guys have been at, Aston Villa, Walsall, Shrewsbury, Kidderminster, Exeter, Newport, Swindon, Mansfield, Bristol Rovers, Liverpool, and that's just, you two guys yourself. So, a lot of experience, and of course, as well, a lot of experience with Sky as well, Brian.
I spent about 10 years on Sky and probably just a bit more. And what a magnificent time I had. I was fortunate, to be honest, Dave. I got involved in Sky back in the early part when it was first being launched back Well, I came in at 2000 and it was still early days then. I'd been on local radio before that. I was really pleased to be invited. And I think I covered something like nearly 800 games for them in the time that I was on. Really exciting, a great company, really wanting to get into football. And of course, as the years went on with Jeff and all the rest of it, so it went on. But what it did was it gave me an opportunity to see lots and lots of different teams. I covered matches from the Premiership right down to League Two and also non-league as well. And it gives you an idea of what the standards are and what's required at different levels. And to be honest, apart from anything else, it was an honour to do it. But it gave me an insight, same as Paul. I mean, Paul has worked at every level of football as well. And Craig has had his insights. So what I'm saying is, by doing that, I think it's given us a firm foundation, if you like, in football, and a real understanding of what's needed in order to understand how to take a club forward. And we feel, you know, I think it's fair to say we understand what the baseline is from what we're starting at Sporting. And I think we feel with the experience we've got, that will bring a new dimension to the way that the club moves forward.
And I mean, so you know, with the club itself, I mean, how many people have you managed to sort of get to know well there? I mean, people like Dave Stevens and others. I mean, is it something that you've gone into that club and been pleasantly surprised by, how lovely all the people are in non-league football and of course also at Bromsgrove as well?
Well, I'll be honest with you. One of the things I've found, the number of volunteers. I mean, obviously, when you get into league football, everyone's paid, etc. These are people that put their heart and soul into the game. And I was up there this morning and you've got six guys out there that are doing the pitch, that are doing the toilets, making sure that everything's all right at the ground, painting the terraces. And they are lovely, lovely people. And Alison was out there. She's out there with a paintbrush, hadn't been out for a long time, but was rolling up her sleeves and wanted to be part of what we're doing. And that's what you find. You've got Dave, as secretary, doing his stuff, and so many other people that I'd like to mention. Graham was out there doing the stuff on the football field. And there are people that are just genuinely there because they love football. No payment for them. They're giving, you know, literally 7 days a week, every day of the year. And you have to admire that, because they are there because they love football, they love the club, and they want to see it succeed. And I think where we come in at the end of the day is just to give them that little bit of help, little bit of professionalism that can enable them to see their dream, and their dream is to see their team move up even further. And that's what we're intending to do if we can.
And I mean, for those sort of Bromsgrove supporters that may not have seen any of the statements that have been put out, and for other non-league fans, I mean, what is your sort of, you know, the aim for the club? I mean, I know, you know, we spoke privately and I had a little bit of a laugh and a joke with you and said, is it Premier League in a few years' time? But in that sort of side of it, I mean, you know, reading this, you know, the statement you sent me as well, you know, 4G pitch going to be going down as well. I mean, what is your, you know, between yourself and Paul and that, what is going to be the actual goals?
I mean, I don't know about the 4G pitch. I mean, economically, it's a good idea. I've done a lot of research into 4G pitches and things, and I'm coming from a football perspective, not an economical one. It causes a lot of injuries, whether people like to hear that or not. It does. We've had a bit of a lot of people have said to me, and we've also, some supporters have come on the social media, they're not really, the sort of initial response is, we don't want one. They have to listen to your fans, and we'll put it out there. I mean, one of the lads behind the scenes has actually actively been looking into doing this for about the last 2 years, and he's put a lot of work into it, and so you can't knock that back. You've got to investigate it properly and take the whole perspective to see whether it's something worth doing. I mean, it certainly works at other local clubs in terms of bringing in a lot of revenue, because obviously you can use it for various reasons. Our training facility at the moment, we actually train on a 4G pitch anyway. One night a week, and then on the other night we train at the stadium. But when the weather gets bad, I've spoken to the manager, and when the weather's bad, obviously maybe November onwards, if it's pouring with rain, we can't train on the pitch on a Tuesday night. If there's no game, we have to train on the pitch on a Tuesday, and it's not ideal because you could probably wreck your own pitch if pouring with rain. It doesn't do you any favours. So we've got to look for an alternative Tuesday night venue. But we're open to everything. I mean, in terms of taking the club forward, an artificial pitch does have to be, frankly, well investigated. But if the supporters rebel about it, then you've got to listen to them as well, because without your fans, you're nothing. And you've got to treat the fans with respect. In terms of the aims with the football club on the pitch, like I said to you privately before we went on air, basically, this is a fairly big non-league club. It's got a lot of potential. We used to get 2,500-3,000 people down there regularly back in the 90s. And then with the old club going into admin or whatever, then the new club was formed. The Gates have never really approached that on a regular basis. They have had 3,000 people in there in the FA Cup against Grimsby and one or two other games close to it, playoff matches and etc. And a couple of semi-finals in the FA Bars where they had huge attendances. So we know that they're out there. The town just as the town needs a good football club, and they'll all come back. That's our aim. So initially, when you said Premier League, national Premier League, absolutely. That's the aim. Take it back to where it came from back in the 90s when the club came runners up in the Vauxhall Conference when Bobby Hope was the manager. Bobby was a really good friend of mine. He's passed away now, unfortunately. But if we can take Bromsgrove back to that level within the next 4 or 5 years, that's my aim anyway.
I'll be honest with you. I'm a massive, massive fan of 3G pitches, 4G pitches. Always have been since the Harlow laid theirs, some sort of 10 years or so ago, the first one that they laid down. And I just think it's, for me, it's one of those things that it's a, it just gives the whole club a lift when it goes down. It's one of those things that, financially it works. And I know once you get to sort of League Two, you've got to have it all ripped up again because you can't use it, but it's, I'll be honest, we had a season there once where we had three ACLs or injuries like that. And every single one of them was on grass and not on the 3G, which was really, really weird. And I'll be honest with you, and I know a lot of people say it, they say that you get more injuries on it, but then, a bit like you said, Paul, you get to like most clubs, I would say probably 80% of clubs probably train on it, but they don't get injuries on
it. Possibly, yeah.
Do you know what I'm trying to say? I think it's a very, very good thing as well as being a bad thing. Because you get all the youth then can come and play on the pitch as well. You get sort of outside people come in, and the revenue that actually helps a club move forward. I mean, take Averley, for instance. Averley are now in, when they first started, they were step four. When they had the pitch, now they're in, they're in step two, So, in successive years, they've gone up. So they've done really, really well. Yeah.
Mm. I agree with you. In terms of finance, it's a no-brainer. Mm. I mean, you can't knock it. I agree with every word you say.
Yeah.
If you ask players, they prefer the grass. Right?
Yeah,
this is what I'm saying. You've got to try. Yeah. You've got to have the happy medium. But I mean, if in an ideal world, I'd personally stick to grass. But it's not an ideal world, is it? It's non-league football, and revenue is of the utmost importance, and that's what you have to consider. And if you want to progress, it's a funny, like you say. I mean, people like Harrogate, I think they had the Sutton United had an artificial pitch. That's for definite. They had to rip it up. But you see, Bromsgrove. It used to be, and still could be, at least on the in terms of the fan base we've got. We're as big as Harrogate and Sutton United. We are. without a shadow of a doubt. And but we've got to get those people back. Mm. The only way you get them back is by offering them. A lot of things need to be done. Football club hasn't got Sky TV or TNT, I think now. Has that replaced BT Sport, TNT?
Yeah.
I think it has. And all that sort of thing, which is something we have to address so that people stay after a match and watch another game or watch a game before we kick off. There's lots and lots of things we've got to do. And if having an artificial pitch helps to raise the revenue to do all the things we want to do, then it may have to be looked at in a very serious way.
Can I just come in a moment? I mean, I think the most important thing is, and Paul actually touched on it, it's what the supporters want at the end of the day. And I think one of the good things about tonight, we're having an open, honest, frank discussion. And that's what we need to have with supporters. I mean, there isn't the option at the moment. So there's so many other jobs to do, and Paul's already touched on some of them. I mean, my firm belief is we get it right on the pitch, people come in, absolutely. But you've got to make sure that you've got the facilities that people want to come to when they come there. Mm. You know, football no longer is about just 3 o'clock till 4:45 or whatever with time added on. It's about the whole round experience, which I think Paul is starting to allude to. So those are the sort of things that we feel aren't in place at the moment. And those are the sort of things that we're trying to bring to the club. And one of the things that we've promised fans more than anything else is openness and fairness. And a decision like that, we'll have a discussion as a board, we'll have a discussion with our fans, and together we'll come to a conclusion that everybody is satisfied with. What I think one of the great things is supporters are starting to feel again that this is their club, it belongs to them. And one of the lines I've always taken, and I know my friends and colleagues would agree with this, we're working on behalf of the club, on behalf of the supporters. We're there to represent them and to put their ideas forward and turn, if you like, their dreams into reality. And that's what we're trying to do. It isn't just about winning matches. Matches is incredibly important. It's about everything that goes with it, so that the moment somebody arrives at Bromsgrove Sporting to watch a football match, they feel they're part of what's going on. They feel that this is an exciting place and this is where they want to bring their families, where they feel safe, secure, and they really want to be there and enjoy what's going on.
We're talking about excitement. Of course, there's the FA Cup draw today.
And indeed it was.
And you get no disrespect, you get that excitement because you're buzzing, you're looking forward to it, you're really looking forward to the draw. Who are we going to get? This is going to be fantastic. And then you get somebody from your own league. That always to me is a real big disappointment. And of course,
I hear where you're coming from. But on the other side of the coin, it's a winnable game. So, you know, you go away to Barwell, it's a winnable game. They'll feel the same way. As it stands at the moment, both clubs are pretty much on a par with each other. I think last season, we weren't involved last season, but I'm pretty sure Bromsgrove in the league did the double over Barwell last season. I might be wrong. I know we won the home game, but I'm pretty sure we won the away one as well. But regardless of that, you know, it's a different squad now, etc. So Barwell probably the same. It's a difficult one. You know, you like to stay in the cup again for obvious financial reasons. We would have got. I don't know what Barwell's average attendance is. I know it's not near ours, but because it's a much smaller place. And we probably will get a much smaller attendance playing away than we would have done at home. But, you know, the FA Cup, the 40-40-20 split, I think both clubs get 40%, the FA get 20. And it's a winnable game, or it's a 2-1 shot, isn't it? Win it, draw it, you might get beaten. So you've got two chances. If we get a replay, that'll be great, because we'll have a nice crowd at home. It's a bonus. It's a free hit, isn't it? It's a free hit fixture. You don't budget for it. And the longer you stay in the cup, you get more free hits. But I mean, going back, time flies, and COVID seems to have put a big void in a lot of our time scales. Everyone thinks things that happened 2 years ago were actually 4 years ago. But Bromsgrove had a great cup run quite recently and played Grimsby Town live on TV, and that brought in a lot of revenue. You might be able to, you might know, Dave, exactly when that was, because I don't know whether that was 2 years ago.
I can't remember. I do remember watching the game, but I was just looking at the you said about Barwell and how many they get. I mean, they got 302 against Stratford Town. They got 428 against your opponents at the weekend, and a good friend of mine is the manager down there at Kettering Town. As well, yeah. And AFC Telford was 347, so I would say probably what about 350 would be the average, somewhere around that sort of
Well, I suppose with the Kettering game, that's sort of a localish derby, and Kettering probably took a few, Telford certainly would have taken a few, so I mean, they're probably, you know, I mean, we're hoping this Saturday, we're trying to entice, we've actually got a fans forum on Wednesday night, where if fans ask us about 4G pitches and things, then we'll ask them what they think, and we'll gauge an opinion, and we'll obviously get lots of questions thrown at us. I feel that Bromsgrove, we're not far off. We've got a young team, apart from the player manager. It's his birthday today. He's not going to like me for saying this, but he's 38 today. Yeah. I did send him a happy birthday message earlier. So
how many times though, Paul, has he knocked on? Have you had a phone call or a knock on the door asking for, you know, come on guys, you know, is my playing budget going up?
Well, yeah, you know something, all right? We've only been in tomorrow. We'll see the first full week of our sort of
occupancy.
Whatever the word is, yes, occupancy. That's it. We've only been here 7 days tomorrow, right? I had a real long chat with the manager last week for about 2 hours, and then I finally met him face to face properly the day before the game at Barwell. Where was it, Brian? Ashby.
Ivanhoe. What a name that is.
I know. Yeah.
Ashby Ivanhoe.
Yeah. Yeah, Ivanhoe, that was King Arthur, wasn't it? Was it? Crusades and all that.
The Crusade
was a bit of a crusade because our goalie got sent off. After, at least the ref admitted the mistake, so he shouldn't have sent him off, which he admitted to afterwards. But we had to play the last 25 minutes with one of our strikers in goal. Luckily, we survived. So, you know, that was quite an. Brian went to that game. I went to watch another match and watch a player I'm keeping my eye on. But
one of the questions, just interrupting you. I mean, will you be glad when the Kettering game's out of the way? Because at the minute, it's some weird. You've had some weird results this year, haven't you? I mean, you know. Your home games, losing to Redditch 2-1, losing to Colville 4-1, Stamford 2-0. You've been beating Royston, Leicester, Leicester, however you want to say it, and Starbridge, etc. And you've got three away games.
I sent the manager a message. I sent the manager a message the other day saying I've arranged for every match to be away from home between now and the end of the day.
Well, I think one of the things is we appreciate we've got to turn the home form around. And one of the most encouraging things is that fans are starting to feel that there's a real buzz in the club again. I mean, these aren't my words. These are the sort of emails and text messages and voice messages that we're getting. And we're really hopeful of a good gate on Saturday. When I talk about a good gate, our target hopefully is around the 1,000 mark. That will be a couple of hundred up. And there is a buzz. And obviously Kettering will bring one or two as well. So there is a buzz. And it would be really nice. We've had quite a bit of disappointing home form. And the fans are really hoping that this might be just the turning point where we get it right on the pitch. Not that I'm putting any pressure on the manager and the players whatsoever. But what I'm saying is there is starting to be a belief that, you know, maybe things, you know, maybe we are turning the corner, we can get up the league and we can really start competing. And we're expecting, Paul touched on the forum, we're expecting maybe a couple of hundred people to turn up to that on Wednesday night. So people want to know what's going on. They want to know who we are. They want to know what we're going to do for them. And I hope we've answered one or two questions tonight. But they want to know what's going on. They want to be part of the club and they want to be part of success. And that's what we want for them as well. And I'm hoping that Kettering, you say, getting the game out of the way. I'm really looking forward to the game. I'm looking forward to hopefully winning. And if we can turn Kettering over, that will be a new chapter. We're starting to move forward.
And I think that communication line, I think the communication line for, you know, for yourselves and that's what will make the club grow. You know, by answering the people's questions, not doing stuff under the table. I don't mean that dodgily under the table. But you know what I'm trying to say? That open conversation all the time between, you know, yourselves and the fans and the supporters, you know, and that is one of the things that will really push the club a lot further than some people think. I think, you know, when you got a club, you know, I've been at one club where there's no communication. I've been at another club where there's just complete communication. And you see the difference in the way and the gates, how many people come through the gates because of that as well. And I think that is a massive thing in non-league football, is that open communication, open door policy that, you know, support can come up and have a chat with you, or you're not hidden away in the boardroom and that sort of thing. Do you know what I mean? Where people can actually interact with you as well, see you on things as well. And I think that there will make the club, you know, grow massively. And I know Dave's that type of person as well, and as well as yourselves.
Well, I don't do boardrooms. I just don't. I'll go to board meetings, because obviously that's the condition of what we do. So not reluctantly, I will go to board meetings, because that's part and parcel. As in terms of boardrooms, like visiting other grounds or even in our own one, I won't go in there. Right, that's not me. Right. I'd rather talk to the supporters. I'd rather watch the game, watch it with the supporters, and have a chat to people and see what they think. Yeah. But tentatively going backtracking a little bit. In fairness to the team, right, the home form, the first match of the season, they lost 2-1 to Redditch, penalty and a free kick. The penalty was a soft one. Free kick was fantastic. But they never deserved to lose that one. They should have got at least a draw. They played really well. Right? And funnily enough, then the second home defeat against Colville, right, they never deserved to lose that either. But they didn't take the chances, and Colville did. And there was a completely sort of innocuous penalty given away. It was a penalty, but pretty, you know, people make mistakes, so you're not going to go back on that too much. But it was a 4-1 defeat at home, really. Could have gone the other way, and they probably deserved at least a draw out of it. But if you let 4 goals in your own backyard, then you're not going to win, are you? So, and then the Stamford match was the only game at home where they did deserve to get beaten. I'm not one-eyed. I don't sugarcoat anything. Stamford were better organised, difficult to break down. 2 set pieces, identical. Bosh. And that was that. There were no real massive chances in open play from either team. So Stamford deserved to win. No qualms about it. But the three home defeats, two of them shouldn't have got beaten at all. And they played very well in those two games. And then away from home, obviously, 3 wins and a draw. It's a funny one. But I think Saturday offers an opportunity, like Brian's said a few minutes ago. We're hoping 1,000 or so people come up to the ground. We're getting that vibe that they will. Hopefully at the fans forum Wednesday, could be a late night if there's 200 of them there. If everybody asks a question, could be there till 3 in the morning. But we just want to be seen to be doing what we say. That's all. And like you said, as long as you're transparent, whether it's something they don't even want to hear, as long as you're honest and say, look, we've got a bit of a problem. We're not going to be able to do this at the moment, or we are going to do this at the moment. We intend to do this. If you say you intend to do something, sooner or later, you've got to do it. Whether it takes 6 months, 12 months, 18 months, 2 years, as long as you do it in the end, they can never turn around and go, oh, you said you'd do this and you haven't. This isn't a quick fix. Certainly isn't a quick fix.
Well,
you know, We're hoping to get, I'm talking 4 to 5 years.
Paul, we've got another, Paul and Brian, we've got another guest going to join us. And this is a, this is something that we've been doing on the show now for the last, this brand new series of doing the show. And we've sort of like, on the show, we've always sort of looked at one football club and sort of took them under our wing, shall we say, and done little bits with them and done little specials with them. And this year there's a club in the Southern League, and it's in the Southern Division One South. And they are the furthest Southern League club in the country. And we normally have Andrew on, the secretary. He's been on a few times to come and join us. And if he connects perfectly okay and his video comes on, there he is, Pablo. And it's great to have him on. He's been away on his sunny holidays and all the rest of it. So we call this feature Going Down the Mouse Hole. And basically Mousel is the club we're talking.
Mousel, yeah,
and yeah. The fantastic club made me fantastically welcome when I went down there for my birthday holiday in April. First time.
Good place to go.
It was an incredible club. Lovely people. And they send me lovely footage for the goal show as well, which is fantastic every single week and all the rest of it. But they've had some great start so far to the actual league.
They had a good win at the weekend.
Another win in the FA Cup. So Pablo, tell us a little bit about the last week, because a great win in the FA Cup and a really good draw as well for you. Something that's going to got a step three team coming to you in Salisbury in the next round. That's going to be a great game for a start.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, David, thanks for having me on. Pleasure to be here. I think after the bank holiday weekend, obviously we had those two draws against Bashley, funnily enough, and then obviously Tavistock late draws as well. Probably frustrating. It's one of those where you look at it after those first four league games, you think, 8 points out of 12 is a good return, but it also could have been 12 out of 12. And it could be one that's frustrating at the end of the season. Or you think it's good news, isn't it? We got those two draws. But then we played Bashley in the FA Cup on Saturday. We were absolutely superb is what I would say. Some of the football was outside. People there would agree with that. Obviously, 8 goals, 5-3 win, but loads of fun. What I would say, some of the attacking football, I'll reiterate that, I think was outstanding. It's really, really good to watch. I think anyone who knows when they come down to Mousel, the quality of football is definitely there. Certainly on the attacking side of things, it was really good to watch. Like I say, loads of goals, but loads of chances, and the way we were moving the ball around was superb. So, look, really positive, really good to watch. Obviously, tomorrow we've Southern League against Bristol Manor Farm. And as you say, today we had the FA Cup draw, came out Salisbury at home. Really exciting. Again, like you say, step three side. Again, get to bring people down to Trungle, hopefully get a good gate in for that. And the FA Cup run has been great, to be fair. I think everyone at the club agrees with that. It's what we want. And I think everyone's actually really excited to compete against quite a high level. So, yeah, the better, and we're just ready to take them on, really. And team looks in a really good place, like I say, playing great football, and Saturday was another example of that. And now in 2 weeks' time, we'll welcome Salisbury, and yeah, it should be another good game. We're confident of it.
I mean, and of course, the other thing that Andrew's been speaking about, we spoke quite a few bit times and said that what are the furthest journeys for Mousel, and literally he said, look, we've got two. He said one's Bashley. He said one's Malvern, if I'm right in saying. And there's a funny story behind it all as well, Brian and Paul. He's in the FA Cup. They drew Bashley, and in the which is one of the furthest clubs they've got to travel to. And then of course in the trophy they got drawn against Malvern, which is the other one. So not only over there once, they've actually got on those times. What time will you be leaving on Pablo on Saturday to get there? Because that's somewhat. I mean, what's the mileage for that one?
That's quite some trip, isn't it? I remember Andrew said a specific number that I can't quite remember on last show, didn't he? But I mean, if I'm trying to think back to some of the away days last season, right? And I'm trying to think when I got up and when I got on the coach. But you would suspect for that Malvern one on a Saturday, right, that people will be getting on that coach at Penzance. I mean, I get on at Fradding because I'm based in Falmouth, but people would be getting on that coach at Penzance. It's got to be around 6 in the morning. You'd suspect. I'm thinking about the last season, and people were getting on that coach around you know, 8 o'clock really, 7:38. And this one's got to be even earlier. So it's incredible. When you think about, we're playing Bristol Manor Farm on the Tuesday night tomorrow. I'm getting on that coach at Fradden at 2 o'clock. I think they're on at Penzance at 1 o'clock. Wow. And obviously 7:45 kickoff. So God knows when we're going to be getting back in. So
you can pop into Bromsgrove or we call it Malvern around there for some reason. It's not, you say Malvern, we say Malvern. It's only about 15 miles from us, if that.
Come and join us.
You can come and join us. You can all pop into Bromsgrove Sporting, and we'll look after you.
I mean, we've had the cup draws though, Pablo. I mean, I think Andrew said it was 8,000 miles that they've got to travel this year. You know, which is absolutely incredible amount of of actual sort of mileage. But while you're on, Pablo, one of the things I wanted to ask you is about, I don't know if you call him your mentor or whatever else, but talk to me about the man down there and doing all his film coverage. I know you help him out doing all the filming down there. And tell us a little bit about the man.
Is this Kevin Bishop, right?
Kevin Bishop, yeah.
Yeah, Kevin, well, he was, he's my lecturer at university, so uni. And I actually met him first on the visit I took to Falmouth on my open day. And first year I was asking for sports media opportunities in Cornwall, and he told me that he was a director and sort of media guy at Mousel, and he got involved in that in the 21 to 22 season. Yeah, that was his first season, so this is now his third, my second. And he basically said, you know, come and be involved, come and be the reporter, you can be the interviewer, whatever, help out with the media side of things. And yeah, he does a great job for the club. I mean, to be fair, not just with the filming, also as a director with stuff he sets up off the pitch is really impressive. But yeah, he's sort of like my mentor, to be fair. That's a good way of putting it. Obviously helps me out with a lot of the stuff, you know, and where I want to get within my career. And he's obviously been getting me involved in Mousel's definitely one of the best things. I'm grateful for that. But yeah, of course, he does a great job with all the interviews, all the chats that I'll do, my pieces to camera, all the footage you see. Match day really isn't, you know, filmed by him on his camera, whether that's behind the goal or on a rainy day. So yeah, I mean, on the pitch, obviously, in terms of getting that footage, that he does a great job of that. And yeah, you're right, he is sort of like my mentor, and definitely has helped me out. I'm sure I'll continue to do it this year. But yeah, and also obviously having him at the uni is another interesting thing you go through. You know, yeah.
I was actually Mousel not long ago. I didn't go to the football ground. It was sort of pre-season, but I was in we were having lunch in a pub there, and I was looking at all the pictures on the wall about the lifeboat story from what year was that? 1913 or something, I can't remember. You might be able to tell me, or don't you know?
Wasn't around.
I mean,
it touches on the point, doesn't it? I mean, the amount of travelling they're doing, and there's people all over the country doing similar journeys from whether it's the north of England, the south or whatever. And the amount, we were talking about the value of non-league football and how different was it from league football. And everyone's dipping into their pockets. Everyone's giving up their time. Everyone's taking time off work to go and play, to go and watch, to go and participate, whether you're an official, whether you're a player or whatever. And all over the country, I mean, it's quite magnificent. And you wonder whether this is taking part in any other part of the world. When you consider the league structure in this country, you see the dedication of the fans that want to participate and be part of what's going on. I mean, it's quite a magnificent scene, really, isn't it?
Well, I don't know where some of the people in charge of these, I don't knock them because I'm not going to knock anyone, but some of them never did geography at school. There was the National League North. There's a team that play near Blooming Stansted Airport.
That's right near me, Bishop Stortford.
How are they in the National League North? Yeah.
Unbelievable. I think there's one thing we should say, if you don't mind just taking if I can take a couple of seconds, is basically there's been some shock, how can we put this, should we say, people relieved of their duties this week, which was been quite surprising. The Bashley manager has not been relieved of his duties. He's now gone from Bashley, gone to Poole. So he's moved to Poole today. Oh, okay. Lee Spalding has lost his job at Swindon Supermarine as well. And of course, the Poole manager's lost his job, Michael Dan, there as well. So there's been a few sort of real high sort of like profile clubs changing managers already. And it's a weird state of affairs. Yeah.
It's a bit sick. I mean, after how many games? Six? You know, it's a bit of a knee-jerk reaction. I mean, obviously we're not privy to what goes on at these clubs, but I mean, I can't see the point of sacking a manager in 5-6 games into the season. I just don't get it myself. It's the way of the world. I mean, what goes on in the pro game seems to have crept into the non-league in managerial merry-go-rounds, if you like. You've got to give people a chance. I mean, like when you say about being transparent, it's been quite difficult for us through to Bromsgrove. That's from a personal level. Brian will back me up. It's not been easy, but now we're in, so we've got to do what it says on the tin and get on with it. But there were rumours going around, are you going to sack the manager? Well, why would we do that? You don't go in there and beat a big stick and go, here we are, wallop, wallop, wallop. I mean, I actually spoke to him last week and I said, look, it's a 42-game season. And so we'll look at it, after 14 league matches, not games, 14 league games, we'll see where we are. And let's remember, last season Bromsgrove finished one place off the relegation spot, right? Which sounds a bit dramatic, but it wasn't quite that bad because I think there was a 9-point gap between them. So, it was probably never going to happen, but, it was a bit sort of... bit iffy. We were obviously not involved then, but it's my local club, so I keep an eye on it.
Yeah.
But you don't want that happening again. You don't want to be going down, experiencing fourth, fifth from bottom. Now, to be fair, this league this season is tougher than last season. Some big teams have dropped into it. Telford, Kettering, and on for the other side of the coin, they dropped into it. But then you got Hales Owen, for instance, came up into it. They're a big club. Yeah, they're another club with a lot of substance and a lot of support, and they're doing well, and they've got a momentum now. So this league, in my eyes, is harder than it was last season. So I said to the manager, after 14 games, we'll look at it. If after 14 games we are where we are at the moment, that's fine, because the playing some decent football. Fans don't really care what type of football you play. They just want to see you win, right? They're doing okay. It's been a reasonable start. Not brilliant, not bad. It's sort of above average at the moment.
Well, and I mean, talking about reasonable starts, Paul. I mean, Pablo, 7 games in, competitive games in, and you've won 4-1, 4-0, 3-0, 5-1, 2-2, 2-2, 5-3. I mean, do the people at Mousel, were expecting that? Were you expecting such a good start to the season? And I mean, don't get me wrong, I saw the side, very, very good side, even in the step below last year, extremely good side. But was you expecting to come into the league and do that well? I mean, I personally thought you probably would do, coming in off the back of a great season last year. But has that surprised you? And while you've been laying on the beach, and have you been looking at thinking, this is incredible. What's going on?
Well, maybe obviously he's the first game in a new league as a new promoted side. You see 4-0 and 3-0. You think, God. But I mean, I think at the same time, with the setup we have, the structure we have, personnel off the pitch, on the pitch, coaching staff and players, I think we backed ourselves to have a strong season, at least get close to those sorts of playoff spots. And I think at the same time, we're very much just time and see how far we can get. Like I said to you earlier, there's a high chance we could have and should have had 4 wins out of 4 really from those opening 4 games, shouldn't we? So, I mean, it looks like it's going to be a strong team in this Southern League. Look, things can change as the season goes on, especially with injuries and whatnot. Lots of things can happen. Maybe we haven't played certain opponents, so their style of play is going to cause us more issues than the ones we have. It all can change. But I think we always backed ourselves to have a strong season. in the Southern League. And I think, like you said, obviously, with the football we played last season, I think it's carried on, if not improved, actually, into this season from what I've seen so far. It's been really impressive, I'd say. Some of the football's been very, very slick. So, look, I think we're all hopeful. I think the season before I joined, our first, I don't think many people expected lots. And then all of a sudden, it came to March and people were going up. And we didn't and went up the season after, of course. But that's what can happen. I think if you take it in your stride and do your job game after game, who knows what can happen. And I think the club have said they've got the same sort of feeling around themselves as they did in that first season, where it's all new, but it's exciting. And let's just see where it takes us. And I think at the moment, that's the quality we've got. And we've made a good start, as you say, unbeaten. Good run in the FA Cup. Let's see how we do in the FA Trophy on the weekend. And it's all looking really good at the moment.
Good luck.
I mean, one of the things as well, I mean, if you get a chance to watch it, guys, as well, you know, Brian and Paul, if you get a chance to watch it, they've got a fantastic, I'll call it like a little mini series. If you like that, Welcome to Wrexham, you'll love this show that they've done down at Mousel. It's called Way Out West, and it's on their YouTube channel, and it is brilliantly produced, brilliantly done. It's absolutely top notch. It could easily be on Sky or TNT or you know, terrestrial TV. That's how good the quality is. Outstanding. To be honest, chance to watch it, yeah. Get on there and have a good watch of it, because it's YouTube page, each channel.
Yeah, to be honest, I'd rather watch that than the Wrexham one.
I enjoy the Wrexham one. I'm looking forward to the new one. I'll be honest.
This is proper football.
No disrespect to Wrexham, but like this, that's Hollywood stuff. There, all this stuff with Wrexham. Be a massive blockbusting Hollywood movie in a couple of years, sell for a fortune. I'd rather watch Mousel. It's more realistic.
Agreed.
surely your manager's got manager of the month then for August after all this. Got to have done.
I'm not sure if it's been announced yet. Has it been announced yet for August? I don't think it has.
Well, I'm announcing it now.
I thought you were.
Have you got that from Dave Stevens? Has he given you a little
particular? No. Even Mystic me couldn't predict we were going to talk to someone from Mousel Football Club tonight. you've thrown us a curveball there. So like, Mousel's results are obviously pretty decent.
They're not bad at all. We'd be happy with those, Paul.
I'll tell you what, mate. I'm coming to. Forget our game, Saturday. I'm going to Malvern to nick some of your players.
Well, listen, guys. Time's run away from us. But one thing I'd like to say to everybody is you know, literally, get behind the guys, get behind Brian, Paul, and everybody else at the club, because you know he's going to go in the right direction. Also, get behind Mousel, because their club's going in the right direction too. And the other thing I'd like to say to everybody is please, guys, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. That is week 7 of the Summer League Goal Show. That will be out on the website for edit. It will put all the hours in tomorrow afternoon on my day off. That will be all put together tomorrow. You'll get all the games from Bank Holiday Monday, and you'll also get some of the games from the FA Cup that people have sent in. So you'll get to see all of those goals at the weekend. You'll get to see who won Goal of the Week last week, and there was two in the finalists. There were two absolutely fantastic goals. Of course, Mousel have already won that competition in week 1. But make sure you get in there. Summer League YouTube channel. And please go back to your clubs and get your clubs and get your people at your clubs to subscribe to the channel, because the more we get... channel, the more it's going to help all the clubs in the league full stop. We'll be back next week. And when we come back next week, well, I'm hoping, I'm not saying it's definitely going to happen, but I'm hoping to have a certain ex-West Ham player with us, if not next week, at least in the next couple of weeks. He's going to come on and talk about his book. Now, people might say to me, what's that got to do with non-league? Well, you know who I'm talking about, everybody out there.
Stuart Pearce.
No, the one and only Mr. Tony Gow, who was a chairman of Specials, has just written his own autobiography. It's literally looks something a little bit like this. I don't know if you can see it because you can get a blank.
Oh, we've got him.
That's it. There, about to see him. There he is. There.
I can't see because I'm not on picture.
But there you'll get to see him. So he will hopefully join us eventually over the next coming weeks. But of course,
in all fairness, I quite like him.
He's a good lad.
He's a lovely lad. What time did you say your YouTube channel was on?
7 o'clock. It comes out on Wednesday, 7 o'clock. All the old.
I think what we should do, Brian, is we'll put that on at the fans forum in the background. They can all watch that and stop asking us awkward questions.
Yeah. Yeah, we've answered them already, I think.
Yeah. But Pablo will join us again next week. Hopefully, Andrew will join us as well. And when he's back from his holiday, I mean, a suntan, and we'll go back down the mouse hole again next week and talk to them about, of course, their games against Bristol Manor Farm and, of course, their trophy game as well. Great to have you on, mate, and it's great to see you again. And great to see everybody. And, of course, Pablo, great to see you again as well, mate. But thank you very much indeed. And I've got a little email I might send to you, a little conversation, Brian, that I might, if it's okay with you, to have a conversation with you in the coming days, and something you might be able to help me out with. But I'll leave that there. But we'll talk personally.
Soon, mate. No problem. Look forward to it.
Guys,
thank you.
A massive thank you for everybody, and a massive thank you for everybody watching tonight. And we'll see you again next week.
Take care.
Yeah, thank you for having us. Thank you for having us on.